its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Merry meet, and blessed be, heed the words I call to thee. Honour the old ones in name and deed, hearken not to others' greed. Pray to the moon when she is round, luck with you shall then abound. Respect the earth, the sky, the sea, as you will it, so mote it be. Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron, on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Hey, merry meet everybody, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. My guest tonight is Ron Kolick. He's also known as New England's Van Helsing, and the opening music, Anguish, by Kevin MacLeod, has to do with what we're going to be talking about tonight, because it's getting to be that time of year to talk with Ron about his yearly Spirit Quest event, and each year has a different theme. I mean, this year's theme is X-Files, and to my ears, that kind of music sort of in the beginning sounded like the X-Files theme. So there you have it. And that being said, it's been many moons since I've introduced Ron with a proper bio. So I think it's about time I do that, because usually it's just, hey, Ron's here. But there are maybe people that don't know about Ron, so let me fill you in real quick. He's the founder and lead investigator of the New England Ghost Project. He was the ultimate skeptic, but a near-death experience changed all that. Now he uses his scientific background to seek truth about the paranormal. His exploits have been documented in many newspaper, television, radio, and magazine articles, and he's internationally known with features in the UK, Germany, Japan, and China. Now, they say he's known for his odd wit and his Van Helsing persona. And he's the host of the popular Ghost Chronicles radio series.
Come on, spit it out, will you?
I'm trying. Ghost Chronicles Next Generation, Ghost Chronicles International, Ghost Chronicles Morning Edition. And he's a well-known, also a lecturer, and he's taught paranormal CSI at Northern Essex Community College. And he is also the co-author of three books on paranormal with Maureen Wood, and he's contributed in a lot of others, and he's probably been written about in a lot of others too, but I'm not going there. So Ron, how was that for a proper introduction today?
You forgot to mention I worked on the moon project, the lunar landing.
Well, damn. You know, I mean, it's those little details I just kind of forget, you know. Yeah. So anyway, hello.
You know, you just wasted half the show in the introduction.
That was less than 2 minutes, although it did kind of take my breath away, just a little bit.
Yeah.
But sometimes people just kind of, you know, got to get to know you better. That's all. That's
okay.
Very simple. I mean, you know. So we're here to talk about Spirit Quest tonight. That almost sounded like, you know, we're gathered together today. But Spirit Quest is happening from September 27th to the 29th. And this year's theme, as I said, is X-Files. And right off the bat, okay, I have to make a confession that some people will be surprised to hear, but I'm going to need your help with this year's theme because I'm going to shamefully admit that I have only seen one, maybe two episodes of the X-Files. So you're going to have to kind of carry the ball. How's that?
So I can't ask you what your favorite one was or any of that stuff.
No, but then you're the guest, so you don't have to ask me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm the guest in this show. That's right. I forgot about that.
Trying to make it easy for you.
Yeah.
But, but
X-Files,
I mean...
I always loved the X-Files.
Well, everybody does. Yeah, go ahead.
Remember MySpace?
Yes.
I like MySpace because you could do your own page after everything else. And you could actually put music when people went on. Mine was the theme from the X-Files.
Oh, it was? That's nice.
Yeah. In fact, my ringtone on my flip phone is a theme from the X-Files.
Wow. So, you know, I know I probably needed get a lot of catching up to do with the X-Files. And so I'm just going to kind of throw things out and you're just going to answer them because I do not know. You know, all right, in the past... the Spirit Quest events were different. Some were like Angels and Demons and In Search of and Houdini and Doyle and Witches and Ghosts. And so each one was covering so many different topics. Every year you find something really good and better than the next year. So why did you get X-Files this year? Was it something you'd been thinking for a long time or did it just pop into your head, or how'd that happen?
Well, generally, the theme of the Spirit Quest, which is our eighth year this year, is derived when Steve Parsons comes over from the UK. For those who don't know, he's one of the most respected parapsychologists from the UK, and also, unfortunately for me, is my co-host on the international show. So he comes over and we do a bunch of events together and stuff, but usually we spend some time on the porch at the beach with a brew or two and think about things we like and what we'd like to do. And last year we came up with the X-Files.
Okay, so like when you did the Angel of the Demons and whatever, so it's always good guy, bad guy, you know, Houdini and Doyle. You guys are always the opposite, you know. So who is who in this file? I mean, I know enough. Okay, here I go. I know enough that Scully was the skeptic and Mulder was the believer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm guessing, maybe wrongly, that Steve might be Scully and you would be Mulder in this time this year?
Yeah, because he looks much better in the skirt than I do.
Yeah, well, he's a skeptic too, but you know, maybe skeptics have knobby knees or not. You know, we'll never know.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
is that? Yeah.
If you had to, I guess, broad brush it, that would be kind of it. But you know, in reality, Steve and I are actually a lot alike.
Yes, you are.
We are different but the same. So, I guess we're. Skulmer and
yeah, there you go. And Muldy, no.
Skulmer and Mully.
Mully.
Mully and Skulder, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that would make you interchangeable, so you could do, you know, stuff.
Yeah, sure.
So that's good. All right. So let's kind of get into basics here. It's a 3-day event. It begins on Friday night with the Paranormal Cabaret, which sounds a lot of fun. I mean, there's dinner with the dead, a costume contest, entertainment, trivia, and more. I mean, I would like to come just for that, but but when I'm talking about just Friday, like they say in those pesky infomercials at 3 a.m. in the morning, but wait, there's more. So, costume thing is good. Dinner with the dead is good. And cabaret. Now, where did cabaret come from? Sounds kind of hoity-toity.
No, it isn't. Cabaret. Did you ever see it?
Yeah, right. I did. Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah, okay.
The cabaret.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Right. So you can, it's got half-naked girls. It's got, face painting. It's got it all. Singing.
And Joel Gray is singing Money, 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 right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
But, we do, the Friday is always a different twist to it all the time. And so I wanted to do it a lot different this time. And usually we have, dinner in one place and then we retire to the... For those who don't know, it's held at BZ Memorial Park, which is the BZ Estate. And one of the buildings on this estate is a church. And so there's a full kitchen and a dining room in the cellar, I guess you would call it cellar, on the bottom floor. And the top floor is a regular church with no pews. So we usually have our dinner and events, the costume stuff in the bottom of the church, and then we retire upstairs and do the other second half of the program upstairs in the church. So this year I decided, instead of having to move, why don't we make it like a cabaret? We're going to put all the tables and all the food up there, which is Chinese food this year.
Oh.
And, it's good. And, it's going to, we get dim lights, get the little candles on the table, it'll be nice and thing, and everything will be done upstairs. It'll be, I'll host it, Ann and I and Steve, and it'll be like cabaret, so, you eat there, and it's just like you went to a restaurant and saw a live show or anything. It's kind of cool. I'm excited about it.
That sounds good. All right.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday, now get me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. We get there, we got to properly introduce what the X-Files Spirit Quest is.
Yes, do.
So I'm going to read exactly what it is, and this is going to be interesting because I don't read. Like the pop culture TV show, X-Files Spirit Quest X-Files follows the same spooky format. Through the eyes of Scully the skeptic and Mulder the believer, you will investigate mysterious cases with no obvious conclusions. Explore the evidence, listen to the testimony, and decide for yourself if you are a Scully or a Mulder. Now in its 8th year, Spirit Quest is like no other Paracon. It is interactive, hands-on experience dealing with specific topics. This year delves into the X-Files. And the X-Files will be specific, unexplained cases dealing with the phenomenal. Our speakers will guide you to a specific case and will take you along with their investigators from start to finish. It will be a wide variety of presentations dealing for a wide variety of topics, pretty much like in the X-Files. If you like mystery and are intrigued by the strange and the unexplained, then X-Files is for you. So there you go. Come for the day, come for the night, come for the whole freaking weekend.
That's it. And
done.
And have fun, yes. But, and Saturday, that's pretty much what Saturday is all about. It's all about the episodes. Like Steve Parsons will be starting off with the episode called The Last Witch, and I give him my hats off to that. And you've got other speakers as well, like Keith and Sandra Johnson, everybody knows them, Ken DaCosta, Andrew Lake, Cody, I don't know how to say his last name, Desbane?
Desbian. Just like lesbian, but Desbian.
There you go. And Greg Berghorn and Joe Cambria. So the whole day, people are going to be listening to episodes and doing all this stuff that you said.
Right.
And then Saturday night, You're doing X-File Voices of the Dead. So you're going to be exploring EVP and the work of early pioneers in that field as a presentation. And there's also, this is cool, but you're going to have to explain to me what this is. But it sounds cool. There's going to be a workshop where people can build their own Raudive diode receiver that they can take home. So what is that?
It was invented by, I can never say that name, Raudive.
Raudive.
Yeah, it works. Right. One of the early pioneers, and it's a special thing that he made up to communicate and capture EVPs. And so you're going to have a workshop, you're going to make your own that you take home, and then you're going to go out in the evening and actually go to some of the places and attempt to make, you know, capture EVPs and this really haunted place. It's got a good reputation to it.
It does.
And we're actually going to be judging for the best EVPs as well. And, of course, there'll be pizza and stuff there as well. So
pizza, huh? Okay. Sorry, I had to do that. So this guy, Raudive, that created this device, how long ago was that? I mean, how far does that date back?
Why are you asking me?
Because...
I have to go look it up now.
I will look it up for you. You just keep talking.
I don't know. Actually, there's a case on it. Oh, no, that's not it. That's Jurgensen. I was thinking about the Jurgensen case, but that's all right. Yeah, Raudive, one of the early pioneers. How long ago was that? I can't tell you the date because you know I have problems with minutia.
Well, I'm looking.
Details. Know lots of things, but...
Oh, there's even a schematic here.
Yes.
I'll be darned. Okay, it's place in history. It's okay, so there are people in the chat room that are really into EVPs, and so this would be good to know. Okay.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so here it says, in the beginning, the Genesis,
while
Frederick Jurgensen is officially credited with the 1959 discovery of the voice phenomenon we now know today... There had been other individuals prior to 1959 who had attempted to communicate with the dead by mechanical means. Right. And Mr. Jurgensen retains this title because he was the first.
Sort of.
And, well, yeah. But in comes, in 1964, a psychologist and philosopher, Dr. Konstantin Raudive, became intrigued with the EVP phenomenon after reading Jurgensen's book, which was called Rasterna von Remden, Voices from Space.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, it wasn't. Dr. Raudive contacted Jurgensen and arranged a meeting with him in April 1965, where the two men conducted microphone-only recordings. And even though Dr. R. could hear an occasional word, he considered those initial recordings somewhat lackluster in quality, and this was probably due to his not understanding the tone and the timbre of EVPs. So Dr. R's interest continued, and the two men began to collaborate. And on June 10th, 1965, they added radio static to their recording sessions, but the injection of radio static made all the difference. So Dr. Raudive heard voices calling, Frederick, which was Jurgensen's first name. Mm. So that's like the Edison thing.
Here, I need you.
Yes, I was just thinking that. But so that's it. So it dates back to 1965, and I'm not going to go any farther. But that all right. So now we know what you're building. Now we know probably where you got the schematic for it. And people can use.
I got it from Steve. I got it from the SPR.
Well, okay. Well, you know Steve. He does things like that.
The SPR, for those who don't know, is the Society for Psychical Research, which is one of the oldest paranormal research groups in the world, probably second to the Ghost Club, which I am a member of, by the way.
Oh, I had no clue. Did he get you in? Did he bribe you, or they let you in anyway?
Just pay him. They'll let you in.
Okay, all right. Just curious. Well, Ben, now you're one of those guys in high places. But now, okay, so everybody that goes to Spirit Quest and builds one of those, that is an EVP receiver.
Mm-hmm. So, do you know what EVP stands for?
Electronic Voice Phenomenon.
Yes, but it was originally not called that.
Okay, tell me.
EVP was actually Electronic Voice Projection.
Oh. So
but
they kind
when
of...
they did the book together, the publisher made them change it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So you learn something every day, kid.
I know. Guy, you just taught me something, and I learned about this receiver, and now I wonder how... Do you have one? Have you made one? Have you tried
one? Have. Jim Stonier, who's our EVP specialist for the New England Ghost Project, has several that he made. There are different... Actually, there are a couple different schematics I've written, a couple different ways to make it, and...
How do they compare to the more modern-day ones?
Modern-day?
Well, recorders, the digital recorders, those things.
Depends who does it, I guess.
I mean, the clarity, the sound, maybe not the
Well, as an EVP, there's always classes of EVP, so you you know, Class A's, and in the old days you get Class A in the... Today, you know, but back in the EVP in the old days, they didn't get these one or two word things. They got full sentences. Sometimes they would be in foreign languages. Sometimes they would be a mix of languages. They were quite intricate at the time.
Well, what happened that they changed?
Our ghosts get stupider, I guess.
Okay, that's a very scientific answer. Yeah, okay.
I'm just figuring that out. I don't know. It's a theory.
Well,
I didn't say it was a good one, but it's a theory.
Well, maybe they got bored of talking.
Maybe they got lazy, you know, that's it.
Well, it's just, okay, maybe in the beginning it was new to them, and it was, you know, okay, let's talk and get it all out, but now it's so common that maybe...
Well, think about it, they probably had like 5 guys in the world doing it, now we've got 50 million people doing it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man, I ain't gonna get much.
Some people do it well, and others... fail at it, so, and I'm the failure. I don't get
probably
them.
They probably mess with you, too. It's like, oh, man.
They don't. They just don't listen to
you. They're in the other world, the realm, the whatever it is, the Ethernet, and they're there like, hey, watch what they're doing here. Boo! <You know? laughs>
Well, I know that there are a lot of people that I know that would do that once they get over there. They will rattle chains. They will make boogity noises, and
I already know what I'm doing. My number one goal is I'm going to come back as an orb and haunt Steve Parson.
And when he puts that red circle around it,
Steve, my face will be there.
I know, but you know how Steve hates red circles, and
he,
you know,
have to, because he'll be astonished. He's like, oh.
You think
it'll be a big orb with my face on it? Maybe I'll be flashing a bird or something too. I don't know. Maybe I haven't been quite. I don't want to give up my clue what I'm doing. But
all right, we'll keep it really quiet about it. All right, so that's Saturday night. You know, the EVP thing the whole night and building your own. Because this is the reason that we're here tonight. One of them.
I thought you wanted to talk to me. That's all.
I do, and we've been talking, and we shall continue to talk because there's a lot of things to talk about.
Fine.
But you know, we want to get people interested in Spirit Quest, and you always have, you know, standing room only, so that's good. And then Sunday, you're doing more episode analysis, this time Leslie Marden and Kerrigan, Dylan Jones, and Maureen Wood are going to be handling the episodes. And yourself, yes, that's right. I try hard not to. Honestly, for all the X-Files fans out there, I mean, this is Nirvana. This is like the best possible thing. Yeah. And then we can't forget that there are lots of vendors there, and you have, like, readers and henna artists, which is good. I've always wanted to get henna'd up, but I've never been anywhere that did it.
Really?
No.
I should have came. I think it was the first Spirit Quest. I had all the girls do, I branded them all with a skull.
Oh, see, that would be nice.
So they all wore skulls, so,
yeah. Yeah, I've
sort
just
of,
never...
Sort of like Laurie Cabot, you know, they changed all their last names to Cabot, so all the... the Covenant, so, yeah.
There you go. That's very cool. And I think it's also important to mention to people that they can, and I think you touched on this earlier, and then we'll talk and just talk, that people can purchase either a weekend pass, which includes everything, but they, if they can't spend the weekend, they can just get a Friday night pass or a Saturday day pass or a Sunday, Saturday night EVP investigation pass or a Sunday day pass. So it's, you know, it covers the event. I mean, the event covers all different interests and budgets. So if you don't, if not interested in one thing, you can get in and good, you know, so there you go. And before we forget, and because we're going to get to talking, where can people get more information and buy tickets?
Oh, sure. NEGhostProject.com, the letter N, the letter E, ghostproject.com. Everything's on that page.
That makes it really easy.
As well as all our other events as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of stuff on that website. I mean, it's very cool. You've got a lot of things going on there, and I think that's interestingly amazing because there's just a whole bunch of stuff. So, all right. So, anyway... we were talking about EVP, but I mentioned this years ago.
Before we do that, yeah. I will mention a couple of things, you know, as far as the cases, some of the cases.
Yes.
For instance, the King Phillips case with Greg and Joe, they're both members of MUFON and they're UFO guys. And this is a case that they have a lot of information on in New England, and they're going to be doing, that's their one. Of course, Keith and Sandra Johnson doing the Conjuring House, which is kind of cool, and some of the other cool things. Oh, as Maureen will be doing Psychic Detective, you know, there are many cases of how the police use psychics to find people and so forth. So this is actually a workshop where you work on a case and try to resolve the case. So that's going to be kind of cool. And then we have Dylan Jones from the UK is going to be over here, as well as Ken DaCosta, and they'll both be doing workshops on how to properly investigate. Dylan Jones is a former copper from the UK, former Bobby, whatever. And Ken, of course, is from Rise Up Paranormal, and they'll talk about how to investigate a X-File. So there's there's more stuff in there as well that you mentioned before, but I did want to highlight those.
Yeah, no, I think it's important, and that's why you're here, to say everything that I forget to say or, you know, gloss over or something. But I kind of am getting a better idea about, and people are now going to roll their eyes, about what X-Files is all about, because it covers lots of different metaphysical topics, metaphysical, I guess. So, and I'm interested. Now I've got to go, and I've got to find it on YouTube or something, and I need to go watch the Last Witch episode to see what that's all about.
You know, if you were going to watch the X-Files, step back in time and watch Night Stalker.
I used to watch The Night Stalker.
Okay, so that's pretty much the predecessor of The X-Files in
reality.
Oh, is
it?
Really? Oh, yes.
Okay.
And in fact, in one of the episodes, they do an episode on this guy who is very much like The Night Stalker. In fact, it is the actual guy, Darren McGavin, who played that. That's a show from the 70s, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And, just woke up the chat room. Cold check.
Yes, absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. My wife and I used to watch it religiously when we first got married. So,
yeah.
It was awesome. But, yeah, that's a great thing. And in fairness, the ones of the X-Files I like the best are the ones that are very similar to the Kojak ones, where they're more specific cases versus the conspiracy thing. So, X-Files made an attempt to come back, I think last year or the year before, I believe.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah, unfortunately, it didn't cut out. And I thought it was pretty good, some of the cases they did on it. And some of the cases were really humorous as well. So, like everything that went for so many years, there are good and there are bad. Yes, he solved every case because he was Kolchak.
Kolchak, not Kojak.
Whatever. Yep, start. Look at, don't forget the... Hitman says, don't forget the seersucker suit. You don't...
Oh, my God.
Hitman says the straw hat and camera. Yeah, but the seersucker suit is always in there.
Oh, my God.
And he had a boss that used to eat all the antacids all the time. He used to keep dozens of them at his desk. And then there was the guy that did the crossword puzzle. The woman, the old lady. And then it was a young guy that kind of, an upstart guy that worked on it, too. Yeah, it was a great show.
Mm. Yeah, I liked that. And I don't know why I never really got into the X-Files. I mean, I like I said, I watched one, and I thought I'd like it. And I maybe watched two, and then life got in the way, I think. But, you know, it's like people that have never watched in the old days, you know, like men never watched Gunsmoke or back in the '50s, everybody watched Gunsmoke.
Of course they did.
Yeah. So the X-Files was one of those that everybody watched, but every so often some of us fall through the cracks and we just miss it somehow. Anyway.
Jose Chung's Ceiling Cat. That was an awesome, awesome one. Some of the early ones were really my favorites, but yes, that's a great one. They have the Christmas one, too, which is an awesome show. If you want to catch one, try that one. You know, the best thing for you, Marla, if you're going to go into it, and you don't have to watch the whole series because it was on for a bunch of years, is go to, there's many sites on the Internet that'll tell you the best episodes, and you can go and pick those particular ones.
Yeah.
And it'll give you a little synopsis of it, so if you think you like it.
Yeah.
But there were some really, really good ones. And, of course, they had the Lone Gunman and that little group of wackos, nerds, excuse me. And, it was a great show, absolutely great show.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a break. So got 2 minutes to do whatever needs to be done. So hang in there, everybody, and we will be right back.
Don't go away. There's more Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks right after these important messages.
Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid of? Power Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on ParaX Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on ParaX?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction.
We are ready to scare you.
ParaX.
From Haunted Road Media comes an exciting new novel by author Marla Brooks, Soul Connection, A Deadly Obsession. Two lost souls, ripped apart by murder in another century, find each other again in the present, only to discover that the murderer has followed them through time. Can their love save them, or will history repeat itself? Find out in this captivating new novel by Marla Brooks, Soul Connection, A Deadly Obsession. Available now on Amazon.com and at BarnesandNoble.com.
Demons, vampires, werewolves, skinwalkers. All of this and more, Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Hey, Hey, we're with Ron Kolick, and we're talking about all kinds of things. His event coming up this weekend, Jesus, September 27th through the 29th. And we're talking about X-Files, because that's what this event is all about this year. And we kind of touched on some EVPs for a while. So, yeah. You there? Or did you go back to watch Endeavor?
That's a great show. British TV, just too much better than American.
I have a subscription to Acorn TV and
BritBox. Do you like it?
I love it. Come on. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
BritBox and whatever. Because honestly, and I'm going off topic for a minute, but you know, I've got...
I do it all the time.
I know that. I've got Amazon Prime. So, you know, they have their streaming. But for $3 for BritBox and $3 for Acorn TV, it's, you know, $6 more a month, you get all the good Brit shows. And so, yeah, I'm loving it. Yeah.
Yeah, they have some great, excellent shows. I mean, it's just so much better than American shows. I mean, American shows are like kind of these action movies where the British shows are so well developed. Did you get your tickets for Downton Abbey?
Not yet, but I'm going to.
I got mine.
See, now, honest to God, all right, this is not, don't read into this, but I kind of am surprised that you liked Downton Abbey for some reason. I don't know why.
Wait a minute. Didn't I mention I like British shows?
Well, yes, you did now, but up in, because I saw you posted on Facebook, you said who's got their tickets to Downton Abbey. And this guy, okay. So that's when I was surprised.
Yeah, you know, I really, my wife, I mean, she's a big royal file, so I mean, she watches all the stuff. But anyways, my office is right off the living room, my home office. I have one off-premise as well, but my home office is next to the living room. She started watching Downton Abbey, and of course I could hear the whole thing, so... I started listening to it, and then I decided that I eventually got up and started watching it. So that's how I get away.
Okay, who's your favorite character?
Not just the grunt.
Yes. Maggie Smith is wonderful.
I met Jim Carter. Carter.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, you did.
Yes.
I remember that, and I grumbled. I think he's really good.
And everything else, yeah.
He is absolutely so cool.
He's a magician, you know.
Is he?
Yeah.
And do you know who he's married to?
A woman.
Thank you. Do you know which one?
Why am I supposed to?
Well, for Harry Potter fans, they do know this.
Oh, that leaves me out.
Okay, well, he's married to... oh, my God, now I forget her name. But she was the one in Harry Potter who was the Ministry of Magic, nasty woman. Now why can't I think of that name? But anyway, she's very, very, she's very, very tiny and petite. And she was a really good bad guy in Harry Potter. And he is a big guy. And if you see pictures of them next to each other, they're like Mutt and Jeff.
Yeah, like my mom and dad. My mom was 4-something and my father was over 6 feet tall.
My mom and stepdad, too. My mom was just barely 5 feet tall, and my stepdad was 6'4".
Yep.
So if we would go places, I don't know if you had to do this, but like every now and then we'd go to Vegas, right? And I'd lose my mother in the casino because, you know, she was all over the place. And I had to look for Bill, you know, because Bill stood up among the slot machines.
Right,
she was,
exactly.
So you always look for the big guy.
But, I mean, that's... Jim Carter, what he was doing, like I said, he was a magician. He was part of this group of magicians that raise money for disasters. Like, for instance, if the Nepal earthquakes, the UNICEF would go in and different places would go in, and they would, you know, rebuild some of the stuff and everything else. Well, what they would do is they would go in and help the people make money to live. It's kind of like the old thing, you know, you can give them a fish and they'll eat for a day, but if you teach them to fish, they'll eat every day. So they would go in, and, for instance, and buy a sewing machine and teach a woman how to sew in the sewing machine so that she could make things like that, you know, like clothes and things like that, so that, that she could sell them. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a great night. We had VIP tickets, so we got to go to the reception and all that, and got my picture taken with him and all that crap. So,
oh, and Kat just, she's giving me the side eye in chat. It was Dolores Umbridge was the character that she played in Harry Potter, his wife.
There you go.
God, I swear. In one ear, out the other.
Skull age.
Shh. Yes, I know. I'm not copping to that.
Or Anheuser disease is what I like to call it.
Anheuser?
Yeah, Anheuser disease.
I've heard it called old timer's disease.
Anheuser disease, you know, that's mine. I always call it that.
All right. Anyway. So, people are going to be flocking to X-Files now. I bet everybody's going to start go look at, maybe the ones that are going are going to look at some of the old ones that you guys are going to be talking about to get a head start. That could be. That would be very cool. Yeah, that would be really clever.
I want to go out and watch them again now. See, you got me excited.
Well, good. Good. What was it? Never mind. It wasn't very important. But anyway, no. So we've given everybody one more time. Tell them where they can go to find out more about the event, and then we'll talk about some other things.
Yeah, NEGhostProject.com, the letter N, the letter E, ghostproject.com. There you go. Hi.
All right. So now let's get down to stuff that you're doing besides besides the event. What else is new? What's going on in your life, in your professional life? I mean, okay, you have how many shows now? You've got The Morning Edition, which is also on TV, right?
It's The Morning Edition is it's broadcast on the Net New England Talk Radio, and it's broadcast on FM, and it's also Facebook Live on our Ghost Chronicles morning page.
Yeah, so people can actually see you and Anne. Yes.
Nope. Don't see Anne. They see me. They see Lou. They see Roxy. And it's the morning show, 11 a.m. in the morning. You're sleeping by then, dear. That's before you get up.
Yeah, it is. And that's probably
because we're East Coast, you're West Coast. Anyways, yeah.
Proudly West Coast.
You can actually see it on Facebook. Oh, you can go to our page. They're archived on there. It's just total madness on that show.
Yeah.
We talk about anything and everything, really, whatever comes into my mind in the morning. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, well, then people can listen to you and Annie on Wednesdays on Ghost Chronicles.
Yep. Next Generation.
Next Generation, yes. And then on Tuesdays, oh, my God, I do one show a week. Makes me crazy. You do three. I don't know how you do it. But on Tuesdays, then you also do Ghost Chronicles International with Steve Parsons.
Yep.
And
the Grumpy Old Man show.
Yeah, yeah. And so both of the Ghost Chronicles things are also are on Para X as well as TojiNet. They're simulcast.
Yep.
So, you know, and you have what you call it, it's all over the place. Podcasts where people can listen in.
Yeah, it's on iTunes and a bunch of other places.
Yeah.
It's carried by other stations as well.
Yeah, well, but see, all right, so you have all those shows. Then you do a Haunted Lighthouse tours. You do some.
Yeah,
I'm
a member. I was the chairman, but now I'm just a board member of the Friends of Portsmouth Harbor Lighthouse. So we do haunted tours. We do a few a year to raise money for the lighthouse, so.
Uh-huh. And then you do your red light seance circles every so often?
That's actually a research project we're working on. We've been doing this for over 5 years now, going on six, almost six. And it's held the first Tuesday of every month. And it's recorded. And it's to look at physical and mental mediumship in the early. It's actually fashioned after the early works of Thomas Gwendolyn Hamilton.
Okay. So, researching, what are you looking for? I mean, are you just doing it the old school way? Are you...
We're trying to understand the early spiritualist seances, and and physical mediumship specifically is what we're attempting to study. And we've had some awesome results on it, really, in the over five year that we've been doing it.
Is it the same group for the last 5 years? The basic
there's a core group, but yeah. We bring new people in every week, and there's a purpose for that. If you just have the same group, you want like new blood to come in, new understanding, new spirit, perhaps to come in with them and everything. So it's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. And do you ever record them? Do you ever put them?
They record. Yeah. Oh, they absolutely. They record.
But I mean, can people watch them? That
no.
have been there? No.
No.
Because it's research.
Yeah, okay. It's research. The core can watch it because we have a secret page that you can go to and watch the seances for those who are the regular.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, maybe it would be interesting to see at some point if, like, maybe you.
Well, we did it one night. Jim actually posted it on Facebook.
And you're laughing because?
Because it was like all of a sudden we were getting tons of hits on the thing, and it's like, okay, you're not supposed to be seeing this.
Oh, okay.
So we got rid of it.
That's okay. That's all right. So anyway, you do all these things. I mean, first of all, I don't know how you remain sane doing 3 shows a week. Seriously. Because as we know, doing 1 show a week is hard enough because of all the research we have to do and getting guests on all the time. And you know, when you work alone, it's one thing. If you work with somebody else, it, how do you do it?
You know, it's intriguing because they're all different, and they're supposed to be different. And when you have co-hosts with it, it's not necessarily about guests. A lot of the shows, for instance, the morning show, we virtually never have guests on it. We do have occasional guests, but most of the time we don't. It's more true talk radio where it is. You know, you're talking about specific subjects, and as I mentioned, it's not necessarily paranormal at times. It can go through anything and everything, it's true talk radio. And the next generation is more the guest-oriented one. And by the way, that's also video. It's video broadcast once a month as well.
It is? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, good. It's video broadcast. We go to the studio and shoot it, and it's broadcast live. Actually, if you want to see it, you could contact your town cable station, and they can pick it up. We're played on about 80 stations right now across the country.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. That's kind of
cool.
Neat.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and then I know with Ghost Chronicles International, you and Steve usually, you do, but I like that. I felt, last time I was on there, I felt like a referee, but one that knows when to step back. I don't want to get, you know, those uppercuts are kind of
tough.
Yeah,
you don't want to get hit.
Yeah, but the two of you, both of you, I mean, Steve does a heck of a lot of research and is kind of a walking encyclopedia in certain
is.
So, yeah, I can see where all 3 shows would be different. But still, 3 shows a week is a lot.
I have to tell you a funny story on yesterday's Next Generation show. Mm-hmm. This was just the end. We took a night just to do, we do this every so often. We won't have a guest. We'll go on and we'll talk about different things, whether it's paranormal news stories or just stories that intrigue us. And I came across this haunted cemetery in Iraq, where there are like 2 million or more than that people buried. Mm. And so anyways, that was my little bit. And so I talked about it. And of course, the names are all Muslim. And you know that I can't even pronounce American names, mm-hmm. never mind Muslim's name.
Yes.
So by the time we were done, it was pretty bad. And then I realized that I was on the Al Jazeera website, which is the Muslim news feed. Mm-hmm. So I just realized that in 1 hour I had been put on the watch list for the national security, and I'll probably have a jihad after me for mispronouncing
the name. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty much screwed.
Well, you know, you live a little and you work it hard and whatever, you try hard. One other thing that I forgot to mention is about your books with Maureen. You just had one. Well, you had the second one come out not long ago. So talk about the book.
The third book. It's second one in the series, but the third book that we've written. It's more Ghost Chronicles. So if you didn't get enough of Ghost Chronicles, you can get more Ghost Chronicles. So it's basically some of the cases we worked on. It's written in her voice and my voice. So it's pretty much you're like a fly in the wall when you're there. You have the book, right?
Mm-hmm. I have both of them.
Would you say
I probably have all three.
Wouldn't you say that's an accurate description? It's you know, along with us, you hear our thoughts, you hear what we say and what goes on. It's like
it is.
Yeah.
It is, because both of you, I mean, you know, you guys are like bread and butter. You're really good together, but you are different personalities completely.
Oh, hell yeah.
And so when you're reading, you know, it says Maureen, I said a bad word, Maureen and you, and it tells you who's speaking. But if people know you well enough, both of you, you can tell without being prompted who is writing what, because it is in your own voices. And I think that was a really good idea to do.
Actually, the font changes when it's my voice to Marley's voice. And mm-hmm. I'm getting my notice from my phone that I'm running out of juice.
Well, we're almost out of juice, too, so.
Good. I just wanted to warn you.
That's all right. Well, if you go, then, you know, we'll
just babble on.
Well, I can babble for a long time.
Yeah.
But
one of the other things I do want to mention that we have coming up in October is when Steep's over here, we're doing a Harry Price ghost hunt, which is kind of cool, too.
Oh, nice.
And this is based on Harry's own, you know, that Steve is like Harry.
He loves Harry Price.
Fanboy. He's got all his stuff. He's got handwritten letters from him and everything else. In fact, I have a pair of Harry Price's sunglasses, which is kind of cool. But anyways, so when I put them on, I can actually look through Harry Price's eyes. Anyways, but it's based on the Harry Price Blue Book, which was really the first how-to ghost hunting handbook written for his investigators. So it's going to be kind of cool.
Yeah, you've got a lot of things planned, don't you, with him? Because he doesn't...
Dining with the Dead. We're doing East Bridgewater, and he's doing a presentation on when ghosts attack.
Oh, see? Yeah. See, he could narrate something like that, because he's got the voice to narrate.
Which will probably be sarcastic and humorous. I'm just saying.
Yes, it should be, because consider the source. Yeah, but, you know, it's nice that he comes out because you guys, I mean, like you said, you hang out at the beach house here and there, but you do a lot of things other than just Spirit Quest. I mean, it's kind of, I look at it and I go, oh, man, I would love to do that. Oh, look where they are now, because you post them. You wave them in front of my face and I'm like, damn.
Yeah, just move across country. You'll be all set.
Just like that. Yeah, just that simple. Yeah.
Move across country, no problem.
Yeah, too bad I can't.
We got plenty of witches out here. We got room for another.
Yeah, well, true. Salem, you know, you just elbow in and whatever. But
there you go.
Salem witches are a whole different breed, too. So, you know, different all over the place. But, yeah, but I still wish that, you know, some people would come out west every so often. Maybe just once to just...
It may happen. You never know. You never know what life sends me. I don't travel very well. That's my problem.
You almost came out one time because you were planning something that didn't work out, but that would have been good. So at least I know you're not opposed to traveling to
no.
the, the the West Coast.
They're still trying to get me to the UK, and they've been doing that for years now. And I was like,
I'm not a good traveler either. I get it. I really do.
I know. I really don't travel well.
Yeah, I know. But it would do you good. It might.
I know.
Just to...
Okay.
I don't know why this came to me. But honest to God, one of those things that I was reading on Facebook was... Every so often, you make these meals that look so delicious. I didn't know you could cook either. But was it the Yankee pot roast?
You know, I'm not just a pretty face, you know.
How would I know? You're on the East Coast, but you were making Yankee pot roast the other day, and it made my mouth water.
Oh, Yankee pot roast is delicious.
Yeah, I mean, you
because
do a lot of...
so tender. Oh, you don't even need teeth to eat it.
Well, that's good. 20 years from now, maybe when I don't have any. I'll look you up and have you make it for me. But yeah, so I mean, you know, you're a man of many, many talents, and
I just like enjoying life, that's all.
Yeah, you do. And
I don't get pulled into the drama of life and just enjoy the life. Well, only here for a short time.
That's right. Always. Oh, it's a grim reminder as you get older. You remember it even more.
Just think about that. When you're born, it's a minute closer to the end of your life.
Good. That was very uplifting. I'm glad to
hear
that. All right. Well, your phone's running out. My time is running out. So thanks for coming in, talking about Spirit Quest, because it's going to be good. And I learned a lot about the EVP, and I learned about X-Files. So, hey, I learned something every day. And, yeah, thank you for that.
Thank you for thanking me.
And let's thank everybody for listening in as well.
Thank you, guys.
And until next time, everybody, blessed be. And
oh, yeah, check out my shows on Tuesday at 3 p.m. And Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Parallax Radio.
Yeah, and I think you're making some changes soon, so we'll talk about that later, maybe.
Yes, we will.
Okay. All right. Night, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2019. The Mysterioso March by Kevin MacLeod is licensed through Incompotech.com.